what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is a man who's always open and honest and someone you can always just give a call to if you got something to ask him. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
You look beautiful. Your skin is radiant.
Oh, well, thank you, hon.
Yeah,
you're
welcome. It's honest. I am being open and honest. This is Crappins on Demand, which means that in addition to just doing our podcast like normal, we turned on our webcams and you can see our smiling faces, and you'll probably get to see Bueller at some point. Is Bueller behind you?
Mm-hmm. You can see his butt back there.
Oh, yeah, there it is. It's very camouflaged with the pillows. So if you want to see what we're talking about, go to patreon.com/watchourcrappins. And of course, I mean, how could we not mention that we're going on tour next year, a million cities all around the country, starting with New York for our 10-year anniversary show. Also the Golden Crappies. We're going to have some fun guests we've never had before on the stage, because we are in New York, our first ever New York Crappies. So
yeah.
We're excited, and most of that theater is sold out. So if you want to come and be part of our 10-year celebration there, hop on it. Otherwise, we are going to many other places as well. We want to see all of your smiling faces, okay?
Okay.
Now, the main event. Ronnie, are you ready for the main event, the grand finale of this Beverly Hills four-part reunion, wherein Erica tells us how open she is and why don't people call her, and then yells at people when they ask her questions.
Yes, the big load of shit that is Erica's story this season. Okay, everybody, I'm just warning you. There's tons of notes here. There's tons of links to evidence. I told Ben, I feel like I'm preparing for debate team today just to have all my evidence, because she is just lie after lie after lie, bitch.
Well, the thing that just drives me nuts is this like ongoing thing about like, don't call me a liar. Why would you call me a liar? Why would you call me a liar? And then she's like, well, I admit it, but that's not lying. It's like, it's not lying, but it's also like, it gives people grounds to say, are you telling me everything? Because that's what a lot of the questions are. Like, I don't know what's going on, because I'm not sure if there's more of the story, because you have now a history of holding shit back. And so that's what this matter was.
Yeah, basically. And it's also like, is anything else going on this show? And they started filming early because they wanted to get all the Erica stuff. You know, they want more Erica stuff, which is worrisome. Like, it's been a fun season, but enough.
Well, it's annoying that like no one is challenging her, and I'd like to think that they're gonna be like, oh, okay, we see what the audience wants, so someone's gonna challenge. They're never gonna challenge her. And later on in the episode, Erica even brings up Potomac, Atlanta, and New York, and well, we'll get to that. But the point is this: she is living in a cakewalk of a franchise right now, and she's still getting mad at them. A cakewalk.
Yes. Cakewalk. And also shout out to Dorit, who was in a terrible home robbery sitch this week. So glad she's okay over there.
Yeah.
So let's get to it. Here we are. Can someone please back me the fuck up? Previously, how do you think I feel? Erica, did you ask him if he did it? She goes, I asked him what Carl and Carl Mountain. That's where we're starting up.
Yeah. So, hey, who believes Erica did not know anything about what Tom was doing? So all the women are like, no,
didn't know anything.
Never Who's seen Erica? Anything.
Who's Tom?
Erica!
Oh, be open and honest. No. So then,
Rena says, I don't think that Tom Girardi told her anything.
And Crystal's like, but, oh, go ahead.
No, it's the same thing. You can do it.
Crystal's like, I have a question that has been bothering me. I mean, where's your anger towards him? She's like, anger is not talent. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean I don't have it. All right? What do you want me to do? I'm very angry. Do you hear it in my voice? I'm angry. Do you hear it? Hear it. It's coming from my diaphragm, which is real tricky. But if you want to get it up to the rafters, that's what you got to do, Crystal.
Moira McKinney at the Learning Annex said, if you want to portray some anger, you got to think about something that makes you angry. So I thought about the time that someone stole Tiago's dog dish, and I thought, oh, I'm angry. Did you hear that? Is that angry enough for you, Crystal?
Well, when the ladies ask questions that are reasonable, you lash out at them, Erica. She goes, absolutely, I'm lashing out at everybody, Andy. Why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't I? Because... But if people don't understand what's going on, and why isn't it normal to ask questions? Because I tell you the truth. You may not get the whole truth, but you'll get some of the truth, and in parts, over the course of many years. But I tell the truth.
Yeah.
And, I understand it, but you're biting people's heads up. Oh, now they're headless. I suppose that's Tom's fault, too, huh? Line up for your free money, you headless bitches, if you were being accused of these things, Andy.
He's like, well, I would be furious.
Oh, then thank you. Point made.
But if it was my friends asking me, I would be trying to make them understand without isolating them, you know? Because I haven't isolated them. He's like... You just bit off Crystal's head. Well, she told me I wasn't angry enough. And like I said, I did pay $75 for that Learning Annex class on how to act, okay?
She was just asking you if you were angry at him because she didn't know. Because she didn't feel it. If a director tells me to give him more, I'm giving him more. 8 shows a week, goddammit.
And Dorit's like, no, but you haven't been as angry at him in this situation.
Hold on.
Because... All right, I think this is now a moment where I shall articulate all the T's, okay? Because I haven't shown it in the way that everyone wants me to. Is that why?
You want the number? Here's the number. I am my own best friend.
And he's like, it's about what people's understanding. Oh, so that's too much?
What are you, the fucking Goldilocks of directors? You'll never be on Broadway again, you hack.
I'm saying I don't think these women are asking you questions in a way that are against you. It's like when I say, nice boobs, are they new? Saline, what's in there? Give me all the details. It's not against you. It's just very probing.
Yeah, they're not trying to make you look bad. She goes, I think they are.
And Garcelle goes, you do?
Garcelle spends the entire hour doing like vampire voice. Oh, like Faye Butler in like a horror, like a 30s horror, something like that. Like, oh, what? No.
It's so funny. And she's like,
Kyle's dinner, I was very controlled about what I said.
And then we see the clip of her saying,
we have $50 to $80 million that is gone. We did. Well, that was in the LA Times article that you so thoroughly read, Sutton.
And then we come back and she said that she was very hurt by Sutton saying that she doesn't believe it and she doesn't buy it.
Yeah. And Erica says, how do you think that makes me feel? You guys know me. You can read all of it. Talk to me about it. Now, I just want to flag this line as one of many for later on when Erica declares that she doesn't want sympathy and she's not the victim. How do you think that makes me feel? You guys know me. How do you think it makes me feel? Not like a victim, because I'm not a victim right now and I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just asking a general academic question about my feelings and how they work in my brain.
And Garcelle's like, but we tried to ask you. And literally after she yelled at somebody for asking about it, she's like, I mean, it's just so her, right?
Yeah.
And Carol's like, well, we have questions, but that doesn't mean we don't care. And Dorit's like, we've tried, but when we do it, this is your reaction. I have to tell you, you bit the head off. You bit the head off, Erica.
It's just like a lot of carbs for being on this cast. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of biting heads. So Erica's like, Dorit, would you like to be called a liar? She's like, no, of course not. So why would you like to be in the position I'm in where I'm getting sued every single day? Poor me, not a victim, not about my sympathy, but for these incredible things and constantly piled on and people closest to you are like, you made a deal with the devil. Well, we don't know. Would you like to be in that position, Dorit?
Well, first of all, Dorit kind of is in that position.
I know, I was about to say.
So, like, if anyone could understand it, it would be Dorit. So she's like, but Sutton's not the person closest to you, all right? She's not, and she's the one who said it. And Erica's like, yeah, but you are, and you are, Kyle, and your husbands were having a great old time laughing at my fucked up life.
This is Erica. Like, of course she's going to pull that card. This is why I always said, if you go back and listen to the old recaps, you know, Erica always likes to claim that she's like down with the gays. But if she were down with the gays, I think she'd have a better sense of humor. Okay. Because she takes things very, very seriously.
Yeah. Because that shit was funny.
That was funny. Yeah. She would get it.
So Kyle's like, no, we weren't. They're insisting, no, they weren't. Please show another clip of them busting up laughing because they totally were. And yeah. Kyle's like, well, I apologize. You know, I can't control what comes out of their mouth. And she's like, and you know what? I can't control what Tom Girardi did, okay, or did not do. Yeah, but you spent like hundreds of millions of dollars that were supposed to go to other people. Like, at least you had the benefit of spending all of that money. Like, I love that she's still not putting all of this together.
Yeah, right? And also she doesn't realize that every time she says, or did not do, or allegedly, it's like, it just, you're covering for him. You don't have to cover for this man who cheated on you and who dragged you into this mess. And one moment you're crying and you're angry about, like, how could it leave all these lawsuits pointed at me? And then the next moment you're like saying, or did not do. Like, it's like, pick a lane.
Yeah, and I'm sure she would say that her lawyers are telling her to do that, right? But whatever. So Andy's like, well, when it first came out and people thought that Erica's divorce was a sham, what was going through your minds? And Kyle's like, oh my God, I never thought the divorce was a sham. I didn't think that for one second. And if it were a sham, I would have put it on a pillow and chucked it right in the middle like a pillow from 1983, Andy. I love to chop pillows.
I have to say, it really has been an honor to reconnect with Jamie Lee Curtis. She's almost like a motherly figure to me. I mean, we go back so many years being in that iconic franchise. I'm sorry, you were asking what was going on in my head? That was what was in my head. Yeah, thanks.
But when you heard about what Tom was allegedly doing, and Dorit's like, where are the LA Times article she's talking about? It wasn't the gospel truth. If it was the gospel truth, you know, it was just the first time we were learning about totally new developments, about these alleged atrocities. Erica, you know, we're trying to process it, and Erica left. She left us all alone, trying to process things.
You know, I thought to myself, gee, you know, it was less than 24 hours that Sutton asked to meet at my house, and emotions were running high, and we didn't have the answers, and, you know, it was a lot happening.
So Andy is like,
we see a clip of Dorit like, everything we believed is actually the dianetical, optimological, anthropological, sassafrasical opposite of hypotheticals. They're like,
and Erica, your reaction to that meeting was what?
And Erica's like, why didn't you
have me there? You should have had me there.
No, Erica, they could not have had you there because the whole thing was, hey, are we going to get in trouble if we're around Erica? Like, you can't be there. The whole point is about like, should we be away from you? You can't be part of that, Erica.
Well, who doesn't call the star of the musical for the table read? It's like doing Cat on a Hot Tin Roof without a heated roof.
Or the cat.
Fuck you, Andy Cohen. Calling me a cat. Totally different show.
So So, yeah, Andy's like, well, you had just left them. And so she says, so it's easier to talk behind my back instead of including me in the conversation, as if she's like a font of information at all times. And Garcelle says, it's also hard when you left because of something I asked. And then yet we have to come back and ask again. Like, I don't think anyone thought about bringing you, in honesty. I mean, she's basically saying, like, why would we have you at this thing to ask you questions when you literally just left a trip a day early because of like one thing that was asked?
Right. Well, Erica, you said you lived on credit cards. When did you realize that Tom was having money troubles, and do you still get 2% back on cash purchases? All right. Was one of your cards rejected ever? And she's like, in 2020, yeah, in 2020, I was on Broadway, 2020.
I want to make sure everyone knows there's a lot of T's in 2020. So 2020, I was watching 2020 and I was thinking about Hugh Downs and thought, I wonder if he's still single. And I was still on Broadway, and that's when I realized one of my cards was not working quite as well.
So so Andy's like, well, did any of you guys hear that
Tom was having money problems? Any of you guys at all? Anyone?
And Carol's like, well, I had heard something, but I didn't know if it was true, Andy. She's like, tell me about it. She goes, well, I know as much as Andy knows. Sorry, Andy, got to throw you under the bus for that one. She's like, what did you know, Andy? And he's like, well, we had heard something from the same person a few years ago. And what was it? That he was in financial trouble.
And then we see Daily Mail. Bethany Frankel claims she heard about Tom Girardi's financial woes 4 years ago because of her late fiancé, Dennis Shields. As the Star says, it was a widely known, best-kept secret. You gotta hand it to the Daily Mail. They can fit a lot of headline on a page.
They really can.
And you gotta hand it to the paragraph.
And you gotta hand it to Bethany Frankel. For someone who wants to leave the housewives behind, she sure knows how to like make a splash at a reunion, you know? So Erica's like,
Andy, why wouldn't you come and tell me?
Again, as if Erica's presenting herself like she's always been open and accepting to all this stuff. When she, like, I mean, anytime in the past on reunions, she would shut it down. So Kyle's like, oh, it was gossip. It was just meaningless gossip. You know, as if Kyle has never put all her weight behind gossip, right? And Andy's like, well, it didn't even register.
He's like, it was like in a room with 50 other housewives, okay? Like one man having financial trouble. I mean, come on, Erica.
Erica, it was like you on a billboard chart. It didn't even register, you know?
Yeah, it's like one of your singles, Erica. So Erica's like,
you know, to a lot of people it didn't register also. When the firm first filed and when everything happened, there were a lot of lawyers that called me and said, I thought Girardi Keys was healthy.
Oh, really? So lawyers call you? Because I thought you had nothing to do with Girardi Keys. Like, why would all these lawyers be calling you when you had zero relationship over there and no knowledge of anything happening?
Yeah, like, it's so funny how sometimes she was separated from the money by all the lawyers. She had no idea. And yet other times she seems to come right into defense about what money was spent where, right? So,
and then he says, well, viewers are wanting to know how you're paying for your life now.
She's like, well, you just told me how you're paying me a lot of money, Andy Cohen. So you're spending that? She's like, yep.
Okay, but you just said that you were locked out of all of your accounts and have no money because you gave it all to Tom, so...
And also, why aren't they rolling the clip of her in Del Mar saying,
I've got nothing. Zero. And then you're like, well, you just said, well, all my money is. I'm spending it like everyone else. I'm allowed to spend my money.
So, yeah. So it's like, she's right. She is allowed to spend her money. But like the messaging is bonkers.
There are a lot of people on Twitter, including Camille Grammer, that think you're deliberately running mascara.
And then we see Camille's tweet.
We filmed in the Bahamas season 9. Wow.
Mwah. And we were all swimming in the water. I just don't remember seeing EJ's mascara was, run after swimming.
There was no mascara on the water.
Just
there was,
saying,
it was just Shrek. Like it was a lot of it was she'd never wore that before. Like her mascara was water. Always like good in the water, the and there was never an issue. And she never had it. She always wore the right mascara. And then all of a sudden she's crying. It's going down her cheeks. Down it's just it's not right.
Mascara so upsetting.
Ronnie, congratulations. You did it. You got this so upsetting.
Yeah, got this upsetting. It only took 10 years.
So Listerine from Lawrence of Arabia said, I'm not buying your pity party and your bad acting, Erica. You always wear waterproof mascara. Are you doing that for the sympathy vote? And she goes, no, and that's absolutely not true.
And then, of course, oh, this isn't when Rena jumps in. She jumps
in. Well, no, Rena's not jumping in. She's just on the side blowing out candles that are slightly above her head. Just shaking her head, eyes closed. It's like someone dangled a birthday cake, and she's like, ooh, the mascara.
She's like, well, yes, I usually do because I have allergies. And that night, you could see me pat my face because if I just rubbed it, I would have had, you know, the mascara all over my face. So, you know, I don't need anyone's sympathy or pity. And I certainly don't need someone on the side who's no longer on the show to put in her 2 cents. Well, actually, I'll take the two cents.
I'll take the 2 cents.
But she can keep her fucking mouth shut. All right? 2 cents, give her.
So this is her saying, I don't need any sympathy, even though the first 10 minutes of the show, that's all she was asking for. And then, but it still doesn't really answer the question. Okay, so she has allergies, so that's why she has to wear, she can't. Okay, so she has allergies. And either way, Andy's like, so, but then why did you not? But
it makes sense. It doesn't make sense at all that she says she has allergies. So you wear runny mascara because you have allergies? The fuck are you talking about?
Well, he's like, so why do you not wear waterproof mascara if it on like the one day? And so then Rena jumps in. She's like, I can help, Erica. Okay. You have many different makeup artists. So maybe they messed up. New makeup artists. So many makeup artists. You're spending your money on so many different makeup artists.
But I do not need a sympathy vote. I do not need pity. Cut to look at my fucking life.
Look at my life. So then it just Erica's response is, it was a fluke. It was a fluke. Who knew? Who would have thought? When I walked in that day and I put on the mascara, I thought, hopefully today won't be one of those fluke days where you put on the non-waterproof mascara, but it was. It was a big old fluke day.
It happened, Andy. Well, I'd
like to interrupt. Hi, this is Mike Shoehead from Shaza Sunsets. Erica, if I may, spoof mascara. Okay, there. That's my contribution.
How much money you got?
You're asking the wrong person here.
Get the fuck out of here, all right?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
A lot of reports about Tom being disbarred. He moved to assisted living facility. Have you spoken to him? Yes. And it's very sad. Very, very sad. And they hold up.
He's like, well, what was the tenor?
I have a question. What was the... I know this is a tricky question asking about a tenor to you, but what was the tenor of those conversations?
Gay, I asked, because he is very handsome. No, it means like, what kind of conversation? What was the tone of those conversations? Off. It was off tone. You know, I've been told that before, but I make up for it with my dancing skills, actually.
So then she's like, oh, we're talking about Tom and assisted living. Okay, this man who I'm so angry at, who I'm angry, who cheated on me, who left me with all these lawsuits. It was so sad. And I just wanted to make sure he was safe, because after the pictures came out, he looked so bad, and I wanted to make sure he was in the right place. But I am angry at him also, because he did all this to the alleged victims too. But he was so sad. I'm like, Erica, where do you land on this situation? Like, everything that she says about him, 1 minute she's choking up. I mean, I get it. You're with her, you know this guy for 20 years, but it's like, this is what I think Crystal's getting at, right? Like, where is the anger towards this guy?
Right. She's like, he calls me every day. And then we see the clip of her yelling at Garcelle, betraying my friendship. And he's like, so why did you get upset with Garcelle sharing that with the group when you shared it while mic'd on camera? Which is so shady because he knows that that is not at all how it happened. So fucking shady, Andy. And She's like, oh, no, it was not on camera. Cameras were down. So we were talking. And this goes to the sham. I could not answer those calls because people would say I'm in cahoots. And he's like, so you didn't want people to think that you were lying. She goes, right, because I hadn't spoken to him until he had gone into the care facility. Right, I'm allowed to say that, right? Hold on.
It's like listening to the earpiece, because everyone's saying she has an earpiece, and that's why she keeps pausing and looking around, but I think it's really just Erica trying to remember her lines. I was just trying to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Andy's like, so how many times have you spoken with him? She goes, well, he calls every day. He's called 5 times today, okay? And Renee goes, oh, okay, lowering the birthday cake. I'm ready to blow out some more birthday cake candles up. Oh, close.
And have you expressed your anger to him?
Yes, this is anger. Am I doing it right?
It's like, okay, you don't have to keep yelling.
All right, well, yes, I say, why would you? It's okay. It is not okay.
Okay. That's okay, too. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay.
Why would you do this horrible crime to all these makeup artists that I've hired? Why would you leave me with millions of dollars of lawsuits pointed at me?
So you gotta love it. She's still not saying, how could you rip off widows and orphans? That's still not even a question that she would consider. It's like, how could you do this to me?
She also said, why would you leave me with millions of dollars of lawsuits? I'm like, you actually left him. Unless she's saying, I don't know.
She's saying, because now that he's incompetent, she's saying they can come after her, which they are going to come after her because she spent the fucking money and they can prove it. Okay. So she's saying, why would you leave me with all these millions? Which is a good point. You know, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
So I would he's be like, yeah, I mean, that's the thing with her. It's not, Tom is the villain, you know, it's just how she's handling all of it.
Yeah. She's so, just botching
Andy's like,
it.
Did you ask him if he stole? And she's like, Andy, he doesn't even acknowledge anything. None of it. It doesn't even matter what he says because he's incompetent. So I'm left holding the fucking bag.
And she is like such a villain in a 20s movie that has just been caught. Like, fine.
She just leans back and makes this like kind of twisted face. Like, I'm the one left holding the fucking bag.
Hi. I just want to be open and honest about something. I'd like to really see that bag. Is it Hermes? Can I see that bag?
Kyle, be quiet.
Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. So Dorit's like,
so he doesn't even acknowledge that he has these lawsuits and that these things are going on. He's not like, gee, there's lawsuits. He's not capable of understanding it.
Not what I've pressed, and I probably shouldn't be telling you that because it just furthers the story that he's incompetent and can't stand trial, which means I wouldn't have to stand trial either, most likely. So, stop talking about it. He's so sick.
But he's not so sick that he's can't call you 5 times a day, which I know from dementia in my family is kind of a difficult task when you have dementia. Yeah, so Andy's like, well, the big bombshell in the LA Times article is that $20 million was transferred. She goes, it was not. So $20 million was not transferred to your company.
EJ Global, that is correct.
He goes, so it wasn't a loan?
That is correct. My lawyer wrote a letter to E and everybody else, but somehow that doesn't get told.
Rena's going like this. Licking her bottom lip. Gotta look at those lights up there. Ooh, those lights. Gotta look up. Now, by the way, I thought Erica didn't know anything about EJ Global or the finances of EJ Global. I thought all that stuff was kept at Girardi Keith's. But now, all of a sudden, she knows that $20 million wasn't transferred to it, but she doesn't know anything at all at the same time.
Right. And just so people know, this $20 million that they're talking about, $14 million, which he brings up, is an American Express bill that it was being paid for her. And then I think like a lot more of it was from these lottery payments that were being diverted to her because one of their clients was paying them off with lottery winnings that were coming in installments. And those payments were all diverted to her. And that's all been proven
on a money trail. So I'm not sure how that is considered not going into her account. But
and then her next defense, I thought was sort of also hilarious and tone deaf. She's like,
yes, that money was over on the
American Express card.
That was over 12 years. I mean, if you knock that down to $2 million a year, I mean, that's pretty much what we're all doing here in this lifestyle. I was like,
you have to listen to the, you're in a PR crisis here with people who have not received a dime, and you're just acting like, well, $2 million a year. I mean, that's not a crazy amount to spend.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Even if it was, it's crazy.
Yeah, and Kathy's bored. She just starts putting on lipstick, which is really
funny.
She's
just doing dental work on a PA.
Yeah. So Erica's like, well, I'm not in bankruptcy like Tom, so I'm being sued by everyone who thinks I've got this pot of gold I'm sitting on somewhere, possibly offshore, motherfucker, so you can't find it, which I'm not, of course. So what does that mean?
If they take money back from me, then they'll take it back from every other lawyer's salary. Does that need to be clawed back? Does every secretary's salary need to be clawed back?
Babe, the money was stolen and moved around to spend on you and your fucking sham career. Like, what are you trying to
get across? You're the president of EJ Global. You're the president. It's not just like, oh, it's from you. It's you're president of EJ Global or something like that, right? So Andy's like,
so why was it ruled that you could be roped into this? She goes, I don't know. Do you know? It's more of a stack of shit that I have. You know what I'm saying?
And then Kyle is like, ooh, what about the mistresses? Can they take the money back from the mistresses? This is crazy.
Yes, thank you, Kyle. What about them? You know what? Well, let's go get the money out of their ass. I don't know.
So
she goes like that.
Yeah.
So, her face.
All right. So you're a vampy villain. Okay. Hey, you said Tom started making bad decisions 3 years ago after his accident, but the LA Times said the wrongdoing spanned over a decade before that. He goes, well, listen, that would be long before I'm on the show.
So I'm like, okay, sure, fine. I don't understand that.
I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm not. What do I know? I'm no doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're not a doctor.
Even
okay,
though she, good. Yeah.
Don't do the brain, just the ankle.
Okay, thanks, Erica. Stat. So then Andy is saying, well, people thought you were manipulating the narrative by saying that the cognitive... And Andy was very proud of himself in this moment because he actually took the camera and put it over to the side so you could tell this is a question he practiced. And he just says cognitive decline 10 times.
I know.
He's like, people thought you were manipulating the narrative by saying that the cognitive decline started 3 years ago and you were somehow connecting the cognitive decline with him allegedly ripping off people because of cognitive decline. Cognitive decline, Erica?
Now, if you put your brain on skis and send it down a slope, is that cognitive decline?
So Erica's like,
well, I don't see why not.
I personally love shopping at Cognitive Decline. I think you're thinking of Calvin Klein. Whatever.
I would never, Andy. How dare you?
Sweet tell.
So Erica's like,
I'm simply explaining that what I've experienced and nothing more.
Right. Except that you said, after Tom had that brain injury, that's when things started to go bad with the business. You said it on the show, ma'am. They've literally just showed a clip of you saying it.
Yeah.
So Andy's like, so has anybody heard of Tom's corruption? They're like, what now, Tom? What now? No, I haven't heard a thing. I mean, Tom.
Yeah,
and also then full of
Erica's
it.
Like, well, by all accounts, this was an upstanding man in the community. He was doing well. He was winning awards. What are we supposed to believe, Andy?
I'm like, it's kind of, again, it's sort of weird that she's kind of going to bat for him here while then last episode she talked about the mistresses, like he was cheating on that. So,
she's also saying, by all accounts, this is an upstanding man who in the community who's still winning awards, saying there was no sign of cognitive decline. Like, here's a man still going to work every day, running a company and winning awards. So how are we supposed to know anything's wrong?
But it was
like,
about
she
his
just
corruption,
can't keep it straight.
Right? Like, it's about the corruption and, like, had there been any signs, etc. And so Andy...
Right. But her saying there's no signs of corruption is also kind of her saying there's no signs of mental decline, right? Because all the things she's saying, it's like, here's this man, he's still doing so well in the community, he's still winning awards, he's still going to work every day, he's still doing this. It's like, but weren't you just saying that he can barely even, you know?
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, I have to assume that if you had thought Tom was involved in any of the impropriety of the money you were spending, that you would not come out with the song Expensive. Also, I have to assume that if you just even listened to it, just the song, just the melody or what passes as a melody, you probably wouldn't have released it either, right?
Well, she wouldn't have released it if she'd known that he was going to get caught. That's probably for sure. But she's like, well, I wouldn't have been on a reality TV show. Which, of course, you were on the reality TV show because you needed money. And you also got PR for your shitty music about the fake life you were ripping off people to have. So,
which I again, I don't believe that she knew what was going on. But it's either way. So
she's like, this is not Erica being some financial mastermind. This is a tragic sequence of events that are completely terrible. And specifically those tragic events are that there are millions of dollars I'm not receiving right now. And it's I'm the victim here. I'm the victim. So
she's like, you can't hide. You know what? Like, she goes, I wouldn't come on TV because this isn't stuff that you can hide. That's what I'm saying.
It was hidden for like 20 years. He hid it for years by paying off judges and cops and the fucking state bar. I mean, well, come on now. She's like, there's an article about how someone who worked at the state bar who was in charge of investigating Tom was being paid by Tom's son-in-law who worked at the firm to moonlight.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, that's somebody who's supposed to be, you know, looking for things on Tom that's actually on Tom's payroll. He had everybody on his payroll. But
Erica's whole defense is that this was all hidden from her. And so now she's like, well, you can't have this stuff. So Andy is like, Sutton, you said one of Tom's partners left because of shady business practices. And Sutton says, no, that was a rumor that person had heard, and I chose to promote it on television. Big difference.
And she's like, well, I would love that person's name. Well, how about Tom's son-in-law, who I just mentioned, who did quit in June? According to him, he got in a big fight with Tom refusing to pay the Indonesian victims. His name is David Lira, and he left, and that's right in your family. So maybe you've heard of him. I don't know. But Erica, like, what? Somebody called Tom out? Prove it. It takes a simple Google, ma'am.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I warned you. I had links.
No. It's fine. No, I got distracted by something else. It was just like an email that I was like, huh. So she's Erica's now acting like she's this investigation. It's going to help her investigation or whatever. And
Sutton's like, well, I don't know his name. And she goes, well, but you brought it up.
So listen, hon, just stop for a second. This is what I'm talking about. If you're going to throw it out, back it up and give me a name so I can go and.
It would help you, right?
Yes. You see what I'm saying? Help me. Help me, son.
I don't know. It was just an odd moment.
I will help you, Erica. I will.
So now Andy's like, well, going back to the meeting at Dorit's, was there any one thing that surprised you the most, Erica?
And she goes, well, what upset me was, why are they believing all this stuff when I'm right here? The source is right here. And I worked really hard to be open and honest. Like that one, Kyle? That was for you, Kyle. And I felt like I was just getting shit on for it. I'm right here. I'm the source. I'm like, because even in this 1 hour, your story has changed a million times. That's why they can't go to you you're not a reliable source.
Right. So Dorit's like, well, we'd never spoken about the lawsuits. It's like,
but we had never spoken about your lawsuit either.
It's good point.
Fair point.
Extremely Erica. Fair point, but also another way to just dodge, right? So you're saying that you should have had to talk about your lawsuits with them right after you said you were being open and on, whatever. So Andy's like, in 2019, a clip where he's saying,
now, come on now, Dorit, there's an ongoing lawsuit with your partner. Oh, from Beverly Beach. Yes, from Beverly Beach. And she's like, I can't talk about that. It's a lawsuit.
Who talks about lawsuits? You can't do that on me. So, got a point there, buddy.
And then Kyle's like, well, Erica, people are afraid to ask you questions because you're closed. And Sonny goes, I ask questions. And Erica goes, but to my face, love, to my face. And she goes, I did it to your face. Well, and Andy goes, and it didn't go great when they did ask questions, right? Garcelle, do you want to give something? What? Okay, fine. That works for now.
He goes, it didn't go great when they asked you questions. And she goes, who cares?
That's like, a great defense of you being open and honest right there.
And Garcelle goes, well, it does make us hesitate. And she's like, we're talking about heavy shit, right? I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm human.
Yeah. And Erica says, at Christmas dinner, I didn't do enough. I clearly wasn't angry enough. I wasn't mad enough. So I cannot win there.
And Dorit's like, wait here up there, because you're saying that we said you're not angry enough. Wait, here, there, what? And she's like, listen, she just said I'm not angry enough. Oh, right, I get you now. And Crystal's like, I just asked if you were angry at Tom. And she goes, oh, very. Ugh. And then turns away, like she's all pissed off at Crystal now.
And Crystal's like, I didn't know. It was a reasonable question, you know? And then Rena goes, you know what? If we are going to get together, talking behind people's backs never works. Never works.
It never works. It never works.
And then Andy's like, Rena,
come on.
And then
Lisa's
like, roll the footage of Rena just talking behind everyone's backs for 5 years.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
All right. And Rena, you know, another pillar of taking responsibility on this show. We see clips of Munchausen, which she brought up on camera and then blamed on Kyle and Vanderpump. Then in 2016, I would say she's mostly sober. They're this close to Kim dying, which her response was like, what? I don't remember saying that. What? I said that? That breaks my heart because I don't even remember it. And then in 2020, saying Denise didn't show up. And the first post her man posted was in a hospital bed with 6 hernias. That is called a sympathy post. I know how this game works, baby.
Yeah. So Garcelle's like, well, if you care so much about Erica, why were you pushing for Sutton to say things that would hurt Erica? I was like,
ding, ding, ding.
Garcelle's really, oh, man. Garcelle's so good on this reunion. So Rena's like, well, all I said is that we're going to get together. You said if Erica wanted it, walked in, you would say it to her face. And I'm just like, she's here. Say it to her face. Her face. Ah! Oh, God. Oh, those lights on the rafters. I got to look at them again. Whew, birthday cake.
And did you give her a heads up? And Erica's like, yes. She goes, I did. And Kyle goes, well, Sutton was the one who called the meeting. She was the one who had legal concerns. She's the one who took charge of this whole thing. And yes, I mean, I still had questions, but it's Sutton's fault.
Just really just throwing Sutton under the bus there. So Mary from Long Island says,
I'm so disappointed in so many of you when it comes to questioning Erica. Crystal, you were quiet. Kyle, you were a kiss-ass. Dorit, you were duplicitous. Why didn't any of you guys ask the tough questions?
And Kyle's like, I did. I asked so many that I felt bad. And she's like, yeah, but you never accused me of lying. And that was my issue and why I had a breakdown at Kathy's. You know me. You can pick up the phone and you can say, girl, what the fuck?
Yeah, right. You cannot do that to Erica by any means. I also like Kyle acting like she asked the tough questions. She asked perfunctory questions with no follow-up and just took the answer face value. And then in her confessionals, she had a lot to say, but like her acting like she was pressing Erica for all the details. No, man.
Well, I have to say in Kyle's defense, which I know is shocking. The thing is, Kyle did ask. She was saying, well, but then the obvious question, they show a clip in this reunion of her saying, the obvious question is, did you know about this stuff? And she did ask the questions. The thing is, what they did was they made it all about Sutton. So she would ask something and then they'd be like, well, Sutton, you're lying. Go ahead and tell her what you said about her. Go ahead, Sutton. When Sutton would say it very calmly, Kyle would just keep coming and turning it right back around and being like, oh, really? Well, that's, you know, you're lying, Sutton. Why don't you just tell her, Sutton? I'm sorry, but you're lying. Sutton called you a liar. When they all kind of did, well, but they decided that, I mean, they were going to take Sutton's way of saying it and make it the worst way.
I just feel like Kyle did ask questions, but she sort of asked the questions that we like if she didn't ask them, the audience would, you know, destroy her. So she sort of asked the questions that she knew she had to ask, but she, like, Erica would just give the answers that she had prepared, you know, or like the easy answers. And Kyle was like, oh, okay. Like, there was never any sort of critical pushback from Kyle about, like, wait a second, this doesn't add up. But you could tell that she was thinking it, because she would get that look on her face, like, and then she would say it in the interviews, you know?
Well, she would say, it's not adding up, so I'm going to say that Sutton's been lying about it so that she has to keep explaining herself more and more every time we get together, right?
Yeah.
That Erica would have to. So anyway, Garcelle's like, so did she ever apologize to you? She's just whispering to Sutton. And Sutton's like, no. And Erica goes, what? And she says, well, I was just wondering if you ever apologized to Sutton. She goes,
for what?
That dinner at Kathy's, remember? The awful, awful dinner.
And Erica's like, no.
I was like, and you're not going to?
Not tonight. What am I apologizing for, myself, for standing up for myself?
And Andy's like, for threatening her? And Garcelle goes, for being so vicious? Let me add a what to that to really drive home the point.
I mean, you said, I'm going to come after you. You said, she goes, oh, do you know what I meant by that? Let me explain.
And Carl goes, oh, yeah, I don't think everyone knew what you meant. So go ahead and explain that, Erica. And she's like,
well, I'm about to tell you, Kyle. Now, everyone on this show knows the longer you stay on, everyone goes through their own personal stuff. And when it's your turn, I will not give you the grace that I ask for. And I happen to be the one getting it this year, but you could be the one getting it next year.
Congratulations, Erica Jane. You are now officially ascended to a true Real Housewife by having complete revisionist history over you saying, I'm coming for you. Like, it's pretty clear you said, I'm coming for you. Like, not like, oh, well, someday it's going to be bad for you. And when it's bad for you, I will not be there for you.
You literally said, I'm coming for you, not I will not be there for you.
It's a totally different thing. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, with her head all pulled up and her ponytail all high.
I'm coming for you.
And so Andy's like, well, that's not really how it came off,
but that's how I meant it.
And Garcelle's like, yeah, but we didn't know that. Just,
and here we are again. And you, Andy, rolling your eyes at me. Oh, and that's okay.
And he's like, I'm just saying it's not how it came off.
Oh, and I mean, I'm coming for you. Do you understand, everybody? I'm coming to you with Christmas gifts, baby. You never know, you know. Santa Claus is coming every Christmas Eve. He tells you, I'll be coming Christmas Eve. Does everyone think he's trying to murder families? Is that what Santa's trying to do?
And Garcelle says, well, had you just said that, it would have been easier to digest than I'm coming for you. And then Erica goes, I'm coming for you is slang. Like, oh, okay. As you all know, I'm coming for you is slang for, if you ever experience hard times, I'm probably not going to support you as much because you didn't support me. It's slang, guys. It's the newest slang. It's all over TikTok. I'm coming for you.
And Garcelle's like, yeah, but I think it's more the intent. She's trying to use logic on someone who's just going to deny everything you say, right? She's like, but I think it's more the intent and how you said it. And Sutton goes, you threatened me and my family. And Rena goes, oh, it was scary for you.
It was scary. Slang Sutton. Is scary for Sutton. Very scared of slang. Very scared.
And they don't have slang in the All Lives Matter parades.
Garcelle goes, well, it was scary for everyone. Andy goes, it was scary to watch. So Erica goes, oh, please.
In Potomac, it would have been a conversation. In Atlanta, it would have been a conversation. In New York, it would have been a conversation. It's only in Beverly Hills that everyone's so precious. Fuck.
I'm like, you're right. And guess what? If you were on Atlanta or Potomac or New York, they would be destroying you right now.
Oh,
good luck.
For sure.
Good luck with any of them. They would have brought out all the receipts and they would have your life would have been hell. You have it so easy right now. So don't act like everyone's so precious. You are the most precious of all of them.
And just how she says it, she's such a witch. Like, I'm so precious. Oh, so Kathy
I think you. I think
laughing.
Your assessment, Ronnie, your assessment from the very first episode a month ago was the most correct, which is that Erica came in here just with the swagger of like a some sort of like pulpy you know, prison movie from the 60s, right? Like, well, yeah, girls. And that's kind of her persona. I feel like if you look at half the things she says don't make sense. They just have that kind of swagger of a villain that she saw in a movie once. And she knows if I say it like this, if I say it in a certain way like this, it's gonna sound real cool. But it actually offers no substance or insight into any situation.
And that's kind of how her personality always has been on the show, you know? Like, she really, you can't really think of good Erica one-liners on this show, really. Until this year, when she's, like, severely angry or upset. When she's really gotten upset, you have the, you don't know what I do with at night. You know, there are those Erica quotes. But she doesn't really have a ton of funny quotes. And we've always said she's just got the gays.
She's not funny.
You know, she's kind of doing, she's kind of copying the gay culture or appropriating the gay culture and the drag queen culture, etc. And so she's just saying things and they're not funny, but she's saying them a lot.
Well, she's just a vessel. She's just a vessel. She absorbs, like, the catchphrases from her gaze. She absorbs the things she sees on TV, you know, and so she regurgitates them. And now when forced to actually kind of like think and be her own person beyond this persona that she's created for herself, she kind of flounders, right? Because again, as much as I am just like, for me, like coming down on, you know, she says this and then she says this, she says this, then she says this. I truly don't believe she knew what was going on with all this stuff, but she's so inconsistent with everything that she says. And I think that comes down to actually not having a sense of self.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
I say that so, as someone, Andy, who does not have a huge sense of self.
You do.
I say that as someone who is also a vessel.
Well, I don't think that that's true, but I do agree.
I'm a big OXO container. Of
that's a personality.
Okay. OXO is a personality. At least it is now. I'm gonna say
shut
that
up. You're my Ben. You stop being mean to my Ben.
Okay.
So Andy's like, well, Queens of Bravo, which good job, by the way, of giving shout outs to all the podcasters and well, a lot of the podcasters and stuff and Instagram
Yeah, they really have been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been cool to see that. So Andy's like, well, Queens of Bravo posted pics of you at Kathy's party and said, and not once was she called a bully, because it's all Erica being like her, you know, angry beaver face.
Or what?
And Garcelle's like, thank you, agreed. And
yeah, Garcelle says like, that's yeah. one of her biggest regrets was not speaking up. Or you know, just sort of letting Erica steamroll. And I'm like, that's one of my biggest regrets too, because I really would have loved to see Garcelle put the kibosh on that situation.
Right. And so Andy's like, well, what would you have said? Taylor Armstrong enough, Andy. You know, I should have tried to intervene.
Well, Pookie from Pittsburgh said that she would have hired security after that party.
So I was like, I did. I did, actually. Absolutely, I did. She threatened my family for a week. I hired security for an entire week.
Which is kind of funny. And then Kyle's like, oh, I mean, we're in a Joe Pesci movie right now, huh? I'm like, of course Kyle makes us. Like, Ray Liotta, come on. Bring it up to Ray Liotta. I mean, we love Joe Pesci, but let's, come on.
Erica could use a Joe Pesci movie right now. My cousin Vinny, she's in desperate need of a Joe Pesci story here.
She needs some tire tread marks to exonerate her.
Yeah, so Erica is laughing in Sutton's face, basically. And Sutton's like, but you said you were going to come for my family. She goes, well, you came for me and my family, so you can get pushed back on that. She's like, well, that is not an okay way to speak with people. Erica. She's like, well, it's not okay to call someone a liar, and it's not okay to say someone made a deal with the devil, and it's not okay to. She starts doing her diction. Nah.
And Son's like, well, I have my opinion, and I have mine. We'll talk about it like an adult. I am an adult, mother. Well, I didn't feel like it at the table. Well, and it felt like you were being a bitchy fucking cut fitness, okay? That's what it felt like. I'm like, well, props to you for really backing up that I am doing it like an adult thing.
Yeah.
So do that, children say the C word? No, they do not.
And then, of course, it gives Kyle a chance to do this. With her mouth, just drop her mouth, look around with her mouth open. Like,
all her banglets are like. So then yeah. Erica is like, if you could not understand the position I'm in, and you kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and you were worried about yourself and not about me, who's not the victim and doesn't need people to worry about him, but you weren't worried about me.
No, actually, I wasn't worried about myself. I didn't see you being worried about the victims at all. She goes,
you don't know that. You're just assuming that. What would I have needed to do, Sutton?
She goes, well, you were just insulting me. You weren't having any conversations. And she says,
I will not be called a liar.
And so he goes, if you would talk to me, maybe you could convince me that you weren't.
I'm not a liar. I don't need to convince you. I only withhold the truth for many years. And then when I do give you the truth and you get mad that you didn't get the whole truth, I then say that you are being mean. And then later on, I lie about us being friends. That's all. But I'm not a liar.
You don't know me well enough to say I'm a liar.
She goes, well, I was looking at the facts.
What facts? $20 million didn't go into my account, so you shouldn't jump to conclusions.
You just said that you spent $14 million of that on an Amex bill.
Over.
Come on. 10, the lottery funds were diverted to you. What is confusing? And Erica's like,
Erica's a liar. Erica's inconsistent. Erica this.
And Sutton goes, well.
But I'm not.
And Sutton goes, you know what you did to me in Del Mar? You pretended to be my friend. And she goes, and you pretended to be mine. And she goes, no, I thought I was being sincere. And you know what that is? Lying. It was so good. I was like, good, Sutton. Because Sutton was finally kind of hitting her points at this part, you know?
Well, Sutton brought it back to like a housewives fight. Right.
Yeah.
She's like, you're a liar because of some housewivesy type of thing. Not like this isn't even about the orphans and widows. I'm calling you a liar for these kinds of things where you're acting one way and then doing another.
And then Erica responds with another thing that doesn't totally make sense. She goes, that's actually just called playing your ass. I'm like, oh, congratulations. You heard some dialogue somewhere. Like, that makes no sense. Playing your ass. At best, it means you're saying you lied. I played your ass. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in that head.
Yeah. So Andy says, well, tell me why being called a liar is such a trigger for you, Erica. She's like,
it is a big deal in my life, Andy Cohen.
And Renee goes, it's a pretty dangerous moment to be called a liar if you think about it. Amen.
Oh, big deal. She goes, this has big consequences. You know, for someone who doesn't like being called a liar, I mean, no one really likes being called a liar, but for someone who doesn't like being called a liar, she certainly has made a career off of fakery, right? Like, her whole career is that she has a different persona.
There's Erica Jane, and there's Erica Girardi.
So, you kind of, like, your whole shtick is about playing with the truth. So, why are you surprised now that that's coming back to haunt you?
Right. And she's saying, you know, I never told that story about Tom and the crash to anyone, so when I did tell it and I've been called a liar about it. Also, we never found out why being called a liar is such a trigger. Like, she literally answers nothing in this entire reunion, which makes me crazy because you go online and everyone's like, oh my God, she answered so much. Like, she literally never answers anything.
But also, like, she's upset that she's being called a liar about what happened with Tom. So it's like, okay, so originally you didn't disclose everything that happened. So sure, technically that doesn't make you a liar. You were omitting. And it's, you know, also, by the way, what, you know, people have a right to divulge whatever they want to divulge. But also you have to appreciate the fact that people may be put off by this. You have to not be upset if people think that when you tell them something, there may be more to the story now because you've proven that you hold shit back until it's convenient. And so, you know, maybe that's not a liar, but it's like, it's not being truthful.
It is. It is being a fucking liar. Sorry.
It's being untruthful.
And the whole thing is, she's saying, Erica's saying that Sutton was calling her a liar about all of the criminal stuff when Sutton was really just being a liar about simpler things, right? Like in this, and this is actually Sutton trying to help Erica, which is hilarious. So Sutton goes, but you did lie in that story because you said he broke his ankle and that was it. She said, but he did break his ankle. Yeah, but just because you didn't say that he had the brain thing at the same time, I mean, that is still lying. She goes,
no.
And Crystal says, well, it's omitting. She goes, hold on.
It's not omitting.
And Sutton says, yeah, but you said your marriage was perfect and he was having affairs. You know, the thing is, Erica, sometimes it's okay to lie to protect yourself. So Sutton's like throwing her a line here, right? And Erica's like, I'm not lying.
First off, you weren't even in our group back then when it happened.
And she goes, but you told the story to me. So...
And then basically is like, Andy's like, but you're saying you left things out. And Erica goes, well, you know why. And Andy goes, to protect him. And Sutton goes, and that's okay. Erica goes, that's not a lie. So now, by the way, also Erica is admitting that she's protecting him. Like, this person, why would you leave me with all these things? I was protecting him. It's like, what? The narrative is right. It's like, it's a disaster. Like,
she just admitted to lying to protect Tom, but we can't call it lying. Okay, Erica, got it. So Garcelle's like, but if you told that story to protect Tom, but we didn't know you were protecting Tom, you can see it as,
she goes, hold on. Once Tom's counsel had said that he's incompetent, then I came with the whole story. And by the way, when Rinna asked me a question I couldn't answer, even when we're close, I said, I can't answer that.
Like, I said, okay. Wait, this is how I did it. I went, okay. Oh God, it was good. I nailed it.
But now you're bragging about not answering something, you see? And then once Tom's counsel got him declared as incompetent and you knew that he wasn't going to stand trial, then you were honest about everything. You were not. All you did was give evidence that he was incompetent so that he wouldn't have to stand trial.
By the way, I interpreted what Garcelle was saying because she sort of trailed off, was interrupted. Garcelle said, if you don't know the story, like she said, if you don't, the way I interpret it, I'm going to get like lost in this tangle of logic here, is that if Erica was not telling the full truth about that car accident to protect Tom, but then Erica is saying that if you I don't know how to even say this. This is like
Garcelle is saying you were being confusing to be protective, but we didn't know you were being protective. Sounds like a lie.
No, I took Garcelle as saying, you may be right, but I took it as her saying, you're saying you're protecting him, but then you're also saying you didn't know that there was something. So how are you protecting him from something you don't know that you're protecting? Right?
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's true.
Does that logic work? Who here just wants to drive themselves off a cliff at this point? I mean, who here wants to?
Who needs to roll over here, five?
Everyone
times?
Listening, raise your hand if you're like, oh my God. By the way, all our listeners are just like banging their head on the steering wheel listening to us parse this information.
So Andy's like, well, Mary's from Hamburger says, Rinna, you said that Erica shouldn't be questioned because she's going through something serious. Well, Yolanda's health, Kim's addiction, and Denise's marriage were all pretty serious. But now with Erica, it's crickets. Did aliens take over your body? Please explain yourself.
Okay. All right. Great. Time for me to give a soap opera monologue. Okay. I'm going to say this. I feel horrible about what happened with Yolanda. I regret that. That was wrong on every level. And I'm really sorry that happened. I wish I could take that back because then my daughters and Gigi and Bella, they could all be models together on the same level. I regret that. And Kim, God, I also feel like it wasn't my place to say that. And I hope in the end, I hope it helped in some way. I don't feel good about that either. Who else? Who else, Ronnie? Who else do I not feel bad about?
Denise.
Denise. God, I feel bad about that too. I don't like how that went down. But it happened. Oh God. Oh, and the other day, I went to Starbucks and I asked for a latte. And I went and I took it. I thought it was a latte. It was a tea. I took someone's tea. I feel bad about that. It haunts me. So I wish it happened. No, but it's what makes you. It's what makes you. God.
All these things I don't feel great about. Mm-mm. I did them. Mm-hmm. I did them. And it happened. Mm-hmm. And it haunts me. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And that was a ghost of Denise's husband's gigantic penis haunting me right there. Each and every one haunts me. But I have to live with myself, Andy. I have to live with the consequences of my actions. We all do. If I could take it back, I would.
Oh, Andy. Oh, here, I've got another thing I have to confess. Last weekend, I told Harry, let's stay in an old creaky mansion in Connecticut to celebrate Halloween. And there were actual ghosts that haunted me, too. It actually literally haunted me. That haunts me, Andy. The haunting haunts me. But it's what makes sense.
Well, following up those questions, there were a lot of conversations about Lisa Vanderpump and Lucy Applejuicy. So how much that you might have inferred that she stole from Orphans and Widows.
Which is a stretch. What the fuck does that mean?
No, he was saying... No. He was saying that they were reacting so intensely about that, you would have thought she had done that.
Oh, you would have thought. Okay, I was like, but what?
Don't worry, you're with Erica, because Erica was like, what? And he's like, okay, I'm just saying the level of questioning. And so then Erica goes, well, she ran away and I didn't. And she chose not to show up. And I showed up today as vicious and as angry and as hurt as I am. She couldn't answer the bell and I did. I'm like, that's true. Also has nothing to do with the question. Okay. The question, the point is that all, it's about the fact that these women went so hard on Lisa Vanderpump about an article in Radar Online. And yet with you, when there's something that's like a real significant thing, it was all kid gloves. So it has nothing to do with whether or not she showed up. And thank you for showing up, by the way, because I did think it was bad that Vanderpump did not show up. I thought it was one of her worst moments.
I did
and
too.
It sullied
yeah,
her
me too.
Legacy forever. But
it did.
That being said, has nothing to do with the question, Erica. It's just
right,
like, again, another
is, why were
convenient
you guys
thing
so
to
hard?
Say.
Right, the question is, why were you guys questioning so hard? And by the way, she did answer. She said that she didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You just didn't like the answer, yeah. Right? But she did show up and answer, and then she just stopped because you guys were not going to take no for an answer. So you were not going to take yes for an answer, I guess. So Dorit's like, yeah, she never answered questions. And Erica's like, that's not, in my opinion, that's not even, you know. And he goes, analogous? Fuck you too, Andy. Or at least buy me dinner before you try anal. Jesus.
I don't know who Gus is, and I'm not doing anal with him.
So then Erica, now it's like sort of in between, like before the scene starts up, right? Because Erica's like on her phone.
She's texting.
And then, oh, I guess that's it, right? Because then it goes to Winnie from Anchorage. So I guess we just saw her on their phone texting. So if anyone wanted to know what it was like to see Erica texting in a commercial break, that was your moment.
Also, you know, just back to that previous segment for just one second, the question wasn't even to Erica. It was Rinna. Why did you question all those people and not why would you question Lisa Vanderpump like that but have no questions for Erica? It wasn't even about you, Erica. God forbid. One fucking question is not for you.
But it's just such a facile response, right? Like, well, I showed up. Okay, it's like it has nothing to do with anything. It's just it sounds tough. It sounds defiant. It sounds like
so funny. I show up to movies all the time, and I have not been nominated for an Oscar yet. Crazy. So Eddie's like, well, Pooh from Winnie says Erica Sutton was such a good friend to you. She flew the women out to Broadway debut on a jet. And Erica's like, yes, and that's why I don't understand why she flipped on me. Why'd you flip on me? Like, again,
come
like
and talk to me, Andy.
Prison movie in the 50s.
Yeah. How could you flip on me, huh, honey?
And Sutton's like, well, you wouldn't talk to me about it. She goes, you called me a liar. And Kyle goes, it's all on camera, Sutton. It's all on camera. I'm like.
And Brenda's like, yep, yeah, on camera. It's on camera.
And then Erica's like, can somebody back me the fuck up for what I'm saying? It's like, how can they back you? I mean, like, first of all, they are. You have the
Andy
most
goes,
backing up
Andy
cast.
Goes, they're agreeing with you. What are you? They're all agreeing with you. Why are you mad?
And it sounds like, I'm not saying I didn't say those things. I'm just saying I wasn't trashy when I said those things. So Erica's like, why are you smiling at me, Andy? He's like, because you're a piece of work. You're something else. I've never met anyone like you.
And they're like, wow, that's saying a lot. So Erica's like, listen, okay, listen. Now Erica switches into her. I'm just having fun, guys.
Cool girl mode. Cool girl.
Right. She's like, oh, guys, I understand the story's wild, okay? The burglary and cars flipping over. Well, one car flipped over. And you said Tom and then your son. Yes, my son rolled his car. Tom's was this way. It was the horse. It was vertical in the ditch. And he was away from the car. Wait, you found him after he was unconscious for 12 hours. It's nine hours because I went back and did the math. And is there a police report? A police song. A police song was playing. On a cliff?
That's right.
Bar. The car went off a cliff bar. The extra protein just freaked Tom out.
Actually, John Ratzenberger was there, Cliff from Cheers. He was there, okay? But there was a Cliff bar. He was actually, John Ratzenberger was eating a Cliff bar, which was funny because it's like, hey, it's Cliff eating Cliff. It was a whole thing, Andy.
and his ankle broke. It fell off, and anybody velcroed it right back on after he fell. After his car was submerged in the ocean and he died, stole a couple candlesticks from heaven, allegedly, and then came back
to his car.
His hot air balloon, which was overlooking cars.
See.
In the sky.
On a freeway.
And then the craziest thing happened. This little thing fell out the window, and then Tom wound up in Steve Martin's body, and he controls the left half, and Steve Martin controls the right half. Oh, it was crazy.
Oh, God. So crazy. So, and so you were the one who found him, right? And she's like, no.
Look, here's what happened. I talked to him the night before at 9 p.m., okay? And he was leaving an event on the west side, and I talked to him again. Get this. At 6 a.m.
in the morning. You know
what? Mountain time.
We have a gremlins household, so after midnight, something is not right, okay? So I kept calling and calling and calling, and there was no answer on that flip phone. So then at 6 a.m., I didn't call the police, because that would be crazy, right? And especially having a son who's a police officer, the one thing I do know is that when something goes wrong, you don't call the police, okay? So then at 6 a.m., I decided to go to sleep. Right, because why should I be worried about my elderly husband missing in the middle of the night? So I go to sleep, and at 6 a.m., the phone rings, and it's Tom, and I'm like, where are you? And he says, I don't know where I am, and I thought, he got dementia. And then I said, hey, he says, I think I'm on the west side, and then the phone disconnects, and I'm like, he's been abducted. So then I call up, I say, has anyone seen Liam Neeson? He needs to find my husband.
And he goes, did you do a find my phone? She goes,
he has a flip phone, Andy. Jesus Christ, keep up.
So his flip phone kept its charge throughout the entire night. God, Andy, I can't tell you. I don't build phones. I don't know how they work. So he calls back, and this time he knows where he is, and he says, I'm in the backyard. And I look at the backyard. He's not there. I don't see anything. The snow is so thick, right? So I'm looking around, and he says, I see a bridge. And I said, well, enough about your mouth. Tell me where you are.
And that told me he's at Big Ben. In London, France.
So we had the car accident.
No, can I tell my story?
I'm like, can you? And Christelle's like, this is why we don't want to ask you anything.
But please, just don't interrupt, all right? So we go down, we see the car, it's tilted, you know, Tom is at the bottom of a well. It was all over the news. Old man who looks like a baby stuck in a well. They're making a TV movie about it, but they're changing his name to Jessica so he can't sue him, Andy.
And by the time they got him out of the well, his hair got so long that you couldn't even see his face. And next thing you know, he's just running through TVs, killing people. And I said, Tom, what's going on? What happened to you?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so she says we went down to him. So didn't she say at one point the son came to help her with this, too? Or no?
No, that was for when he... No, the son helped when... He was robbed
okay,
recently.
Right. Because yeah. She said we, so I don't know. Maybe she was just with an employee or something. So basically, you said he was missing for 12 hours and you were the one to find him. And now this is the new story, whatever it was. So he's like, but why did you say that he was allegedly unconscious for 12 hours? And she goes, well, I got in trouble with the lawyers for talking too much, Andy. Isn't that funny? He's like, yeah. Wow. She goes, listen, it's all unreal. It sounds unreal, but it's all true. And Kathy goes, allegedly. They all start laughing.
And then Andy says, why was it snowing where your son was? He goes, listen, we're not going to get into that. Okay. Like, that lie was just so out there. I can't even defend that one. So let's just move forward. Okay. Let's just focus on the fact that my child, not his children, was the one that checked on him and boarded up the house. I'm like, okay. That's good.
So now you're going to go slam his children, right?
I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, I mean, that is nice of your son to do that, especially because he braved that snowstorm.
Just because she's there. So she's like, okay, I'll slam his children too. And so he's like, well, how is your relationship with his children? She goes,
we don't speak clearly. This is a massive wedge. Thank you.
No, wedge, the salad. Kyle's eaten one. It's massive. Just look at that thing. Kyle. Kyle's like, listen, I like blue cheese and I'm not in this reunion, so fuck off, Doree.
I got a lovely wedge shoe at Cognitive Decline. God, I love their clothes.
So the Andy.
So I know we've covered this, but it's, you know, it's for hours, but it's the thing that everyone's pissed about, and we've got 19 more episodes of this reunion coming up. So let's do it again. People equate everything you do and the posts you make on Instagram, they equate it to the victims. You know, they say that she should be doing something.
And Erica says,
you know how I can serve the victims best? By cooperating in court and by rolling up my sleeves and getting to the bottom of it. I'm like, isn't that what O.J. Simpson said about, like, he's going to spend every day hunting for Nicole Brown's killer? So
also, you wouldn't turn over your financial records. The attorney had to force them, and then they found all these hidden bank accounts, and she wouldn't turn over records to those, so they had to subpoena them from the banks. And then she tried to sue to have a major case, the NFL case that Tom had, kept with Tom, who she claims is incompetent, so she could keep the money from that. That case to help her pay off this stuff and then take the remainder of the money, which she still thinks she is owed because of the divorce. So did she make some sort of injunction to help any victims here?
Ronnie, did she make some sort of injunction to get the money before the victims also? Did I read that somewhere?
I read that a long time ago, but I don't have any links to prove it, so I'm just going to shut up. So, but for this stuff, yeah. Allegedly, yeah. So the point is, she's not. Erica's acting like she's doing everything she can to help, and that's not the truth.
And so she says the way that she can help the victims is by cooperating and rolling up her sleeves and getting into it. And Dorit's like,
but gee, you could just say that, darling. You could just say that. And she's like, I just did.
And they're like, but now you just said it. Now, why aren't you saying this all along?
And she goes,
yeah, well, my lawyer said it. Look, Erica's cooperated. Erica's done everything she could. Well, Erica's also being sued day after day, all right?
Okay, well, again, no question answered. And I'm glad your lawyer that you're paying gave good reviews on your behavior about how helpful you are.
Well, you've answered every question. By answer, I mean evaded every question. And I thank you. And I want to hear from the women now. Do you feel like you've heard everything you were wondering about?
And they clearly have many more questions. But Kyle's like, I really feel like you cleared up a lot about Tom's accident. So for that, thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, it's so clear. It is so clear. Everything is clear. It's so clear. I feel like I just got my eyeball scanned at the airport to get through a shorter line. You were that clear. All right.
And Kyle's like, you know, because those car flips. And Erica goes,
oh, yeah. That was my child. That was my child.
And Kathy goes, listen, we're all ADD here. Okay?
EFG. Get it? Letters. That was funny that Kathy said that because I feel like I've heard people of a different generation often just like go there. Well, they're all a little ADD. So then Garcelle has no further questions, and Fancy Drew and Sutton's like, well, I asked all my questions face to face, and it's nice to hear more clear answers or answers at all. So thank you for answering or not answering.
Crystal's like, no, I'm fine. And Erica says,
all right, well, you, Chris, I'm sorry about your head off, honey. I'm sorry about that.
Crystal's like, oh, it's fine. I've been sleeping for about 2 hours over here at the end of the couch. Haven't you noticed? I haven't said anything.
And Andy says,
well, the most important thing I heard was your expression of sympathy for the victims.
Where was that?
That we had to pull out of you reluctantly.
Yeah. And he's like, and you said you want them to get rectification.
Anal for everybody. That's what I say. And can I say just one more thing? Thank you all for hearing me out today. This is not pretty. It's ugly. I'm well aware. And I've been pressed. And people have filled it in with the blanks. So I hope you know in my side. And I hope you know that this is not going to be wrapped up easily. And all I can do is put one foot in front of the other in front of my knee and then come back and box step all that jazz. Thank you.
Step by step, day by day.
And she goes, she also, by the way, says about the victims, the legitimate claims need to be taken care of, which is a very clever turn of phrase, the legitimate claims. It's a good way of preloading your defense there. So Kathy says,
oh, I have something I want to say. I just want to apologize to Garcelle. It wasn't my fault I came to dinner. I wasn't allowed to come to your dinner. What?
What?
She did do that. What?
And she says, well, I was already safe from COVID, but I had that 3-day, and then I couldn't, so they wouldn't let me, you know
check. ADD.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but I accept your apology, Kathy.
But I want to go back to your house and have more caviar pie, so you're exonerated. So then now we're like in the final like wind down here. So Erica apologizes to Crystal again, and Crystal's like, I've always been supporting you. I mean, like, you're biting when I defended liars, and I get it. I bite my head off. It's okay. I don't know what Crystal was saying. But they were basically kind of just like smoothing things over. And then Sutton's like,
hey Sutton, if you could redo one thing, what would it be?
And I love that Sutton said, my conversation with Crystal, you know, next time I'll just listen. I like that because A, that was the one thing that she should have redone. And B, I love that she didn't say, I would have redone how I approached Erica. I would have been nicer to her. I love that she didn't give it to Erica. She's like, no, I stand by how I approached the whole Erica situation. And I'm glad that Sutton stood behind herself. She backed herself.
Yeah, so then he asks to read. He says, you're a mom, a fashionista, and a chatterbox. What do you want to be known for?
Definitely the chitterbox. I want to be a good mom, a good wife, a bikini baker, and a wedding dress designer.
Kathy, what surprised you the most about joining the group and this experience? And she's like, well, I was surprised at how real it was. And, you know, I mean, just to see all the years watching Kyle on the show, I thought, wow, my sister was, she is really a terrible, terrible person. But I was like, oh, but it's all fake. And no, she's terrible. That's great to find that out for real.
It's just really refreshing to know that Kyle sucks as much on TV as she does in real life. That was fun.
It's a good sisterhood, yeah.
And Crystal, you had a rough entry, and then you really loosened up and shared so much of yourself. You loosened up so much that you fell asleep for an hour here. What did it mean to you to have this group of friends? And she's like, well, it was a rough transition, but I always kept an open heart and mind, and it was really nice, and it was nice the way it ended, and you know, when I had my speech at the Chinese New Year's, all right, enough of that. You're not going to say something fun, then we're going to move right on.
Well, it is funny because, like, she's like, you know, that speech I gave at the end, everyone's like, what? And she's like, yeah, you remember my speech? That really rang true. I was like, okay, another person who gives himself glowing reviews. You'll fit right in here, honey.
Everyone's so like, what Andy's speech was like, that? We don't remember it.
Yeah, and he's like, Rena, we saw a shift in you. We'll see, Rena. Wow, Rena. And she's like, well, I didn't know how it would go today. Last year, I felt like there wasn't resolution. And I said, I'm not going to do that with Garcelle. I'm going to attack her viciously for no reason than sit on her lap. And I did it. I did it, Andy.
Erica, your life has been under a microscope, and there's a Greek chorus of people who have strong opinions about you. So what do you hope people take away? Nothing. I don't have anything left. You can't take away anything from me, okay? It's just Tiago. Just Tiago and me. No. It's an expression. Slang, if you will. Oh, slang.
Oh,
yes.
I got it. Well, first of all, I would like to thank the Greek chorus, because without you, Zorba the musical wouldn't have been anything. So thank y'all for everything you do. And I would just like to say I came with an open heart. I honored my commitments, and I did all I can do.
It's like, wow, congratulations. You punched in. Do you want a fucking award? Well, it's like so to 2021 to think you deserve a raise just for fucking showing up. So Andy's like, Kyle with Kathy, or Kyle, who cares?
It was nothing. It was
Kyle's. Yeah,
Kyle patching things up. So now, to end the season,
Patrick and Carlos bring martinis.
I thought it was going to be hot toddies. I was a little disappointed that it wasn't. But yeah, Patrick, other guy come out. They've got martinis. And he's like, wow, Patrick, I'm glad you weren't so traumatized by this group of ladies that you couldn't come back into the fray. And he goes, how could I be traumatized with 8 beautiful ladies? And they're like, aw.
And then Erica's like, I apologize, honey. I apologize to you, right? And then it's a fake martini because Kathy does the bottoms up, ladies. Which it cracks me up that Kathy had the smallest role on this whole season, but the set is based on Kathy.
Yes.
The final drink is based on Kathy. And Kathy's fucking staff comes out for a bow at the end. So funny.
Bravo knows so they all what people care about sometimes.
They chug it, and I cannot believe Erica didn't get the last line, because Erica would not let anybody have a segment in this whole thing. But Andy's like, wow, Crystal, even you chugged it. And she goes, I'm a bartender. And that was the last
Don't
line.
Don't you remember? I mentioned that in my final speech.
Well, so what was a it. Season of Beverly wow. Hills. What are Nicely we gonna... done, ladies and Ronnie, Andy or whoever.
What are we going to do without just spewing the same commentary week after week after week about Erica? Like, what are we going to do not getting ourselves angry about her?
Oh, gosh. Housewives, it always is like this at the end. It's like the same thing, especially Beverly Hills, the same thing. And by the end, it's just, it's exhausting. I mean, this, it'll be nice not taking 3 hours worth of notes every week. That's for damn sure. But it was a great season. Loved watching it.
Yeah. Although we do have 4 weeks of Potomac reunion now. So let's keep on rolling. So,
oh, yeah. Here we go, everybody. But yeah, super, super fun.
You guys, thank you so much for being here and watching. And we'll be back tomorrow with our latest episode will be, our next episode will be Winter House. So keep an eye out for that. And we'll talk to you all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan. And Cap Sewell, Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.